live from the HananiahAutos.com studio. This is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Monday with J.P. Shadrick, Jaguars great Tony Baselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Ticket Exchange and by Everbank.
Bring me some chocolate pudding.
Jaguars Monday starts right now.
Welcome into the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. Jaguars Monday. J.P. Shadrick, pride of the Jaguars left tackle Tony Baselli.
Thank you.
CBSSports.com senior NFL columnist Pete Prisco.
How are you?
Oh, great, guys.
You're very pink today.
Yeah.
It's like a fluorescent pink.
I'm secure enough.
Very bright. No, I have pink shirts, but not that pink. That's
I left my sunglasses in the other room.
Yeah, that's like a magenta.
It's shining off your
head,
isn't it?
Is that magenta?
It might be shining on my head, too. I don't know.
You guys.
Is that like a magenta color?
I don't know. What do you think? I know what color these are?
Your Wi-Fi?
You're wearing an Episcopal football shirt.
We had practice today.
How'd it go? How'd it go, coach? One game at a time, one play at a time.
No, I wasn't happy. I ripped him today.
Ripped him?
Yeah, I wasn't good enough for up front.
Wow.
Bad aiming points, bad footwork. See, not finishing plays.
If Tony was actually a head coach of a team and like people like were out covering him on a daily basis, like
great.
In the NFL, he'd be horrible, like around the podium. Terrible.
But why is that?
Because just like when you used to give the answers to the group think in the locker room.
Oh, I was great. I'd give you good stuff.
When everybody walked away and I walked over and you gave me all the good stuff.
Deep throat.
Yeah. Who's playing well? They come over to Tony and they ask him these questions and then you go over and go, he can't play, can he? Nope, can't play at all. You would say it.
I wouldn't say it. You can't do that as a head coach, though.
You'd do it privately. Yeah, you could.
No, because you know my theory as a coach, like, oh, you get after them, players. But you never – I wouldn't want a player calling me out as a coach, so I'm not going to call a player out in the media. No, you can correct them and say who's playing well and who's not.
Yeah, but
you know, sometimes they
– I don't say call them out, but if I walked over to you and say, hey, you got problems on the offense.
Oh, yeah, I'd be honest. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
right.
Plenty to get to. Speaking of the offensive line, big news on the offensive line today. Stefan Wisniewski named the starting center. We'll – go through the entire line from last week as well, including the left tackle, Luke Jokel, and how he improved from week to week. Blake Bortles.
Can I just say something?
Oh, yes.
Let me say something.
And you have stuff to get off your chest tonight.
Not yet. I got a lot to get off my chest.
I know you do.
I got
some personal
issues I need to deal with.
Okay.
And I got some concerns about the team.
We might can help you with those.
And I want to say this. We are not going to do a weekly segment of how Luke Jokel played. We're not going to do that.
Why not?
Because it's not fair to the kid.
It's always fair. When you're the second pick in the draft, it's fair.
We're not going to do
that. What if we went through every position on the offensive line every week?
If we went
from left to right.
If we went through every position, great.
Let's do it.
We're not doing the Luke Jokel watch. It's not fair to the kid.
We need theme music for that.
How many kids were drafted that high?
Well, there's one a year.
How many kids were drafted second on this team overall?
Second?
You're protecting him again.
I'm not protecting
him.
Yes,
you are.
I wouldn't do it for Brandon Linder. I don't want to do the Brandon Linder watch.
Where were you picked?
Second.
And we critiqued you every week. Don't you remember the grade? The report
Baselli
card?
Baselli watch.
The report card grade.
Baselli watch 95.
And I let you know every time how I felt about it.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Nobody more than Leon. But there was every position. There were groups like run game. I mean, it was like passing game, coaching. You gave these grades. But the only entire position group that got an actual grade was the offensive line.
No other position group.
And it got more heat. Yes, it's fair to grade him.
But
yes, it is.
But even for me, you guys didn't pick apart my game play by play, did you?
Yeah, it was a little hard to do. But, I mean, you it was hard. To find the negatives was hard. I'm not going to make your head any bigger than it is.
I got a big head.
Yeah, but no.
Large.
But, yes, it's fair, Tony, to critique him every week. Yes, it is.
I'm not saying –
He was drafted second overall.
All right, we're going to do the Luke Jokel watch. Looking for, orca.
We'll find the happy medium
whatever,
here.
Whatever sea animal we want to go watch for. It's like a hurricane watch.
We'll go through each position of the
offensive
line.
You have a hurricane watch music,
every
Joe?
Week. That's what we'll do.
Storm morning.
That'll include the left tackle, Luke Jokel. So we'll do that. That's a happy medium.
Fine.
Okay, fine. Great. Let's start, though, with the quarterback. Blake Bortles, 8-16, 98 yards. You said a minute ago that you like where this guy is right now. There were a few drops again for him last week, but overall he just has that look and the feel, right?
Yeah, I got to pick on my man Mark Brunell a little bit. Yeah, he missed the tight end on the cross. and he highlighted that play. Do you remember? Remember the deep ball he threw to Hearns?
Yeah.
Okay, he had the tight end on the cross, and he missed him wide open. It would have been a big play if he came off of him. But it should have been a big play anyways. That ball hit Hearns in the hands.
No, but the defensive guy made a good play. He ripped it.
You got to catch that. You got to catch that.
Okay, I'm just saying, but it wasn't like it was a flat
but
drop.
But if you go back and watch the 22, I haven't seen the 22, but Brunell made a good point, and they hired – yeah, the tight end would have been about 25-yard games by himself. But I give
leave it to Brunell, ripping to the quarterback.
Yeah, right? The kid has got – he's significantly better in every way, shape, or form. From his mechanics to his pocket presence to the way he carries himself to the way the ball comes out of his hand to the timing. Now, did he make a couple bad throws? Yeah. The wheel route, that could have been – he double clutched.
Yeah.
Throw it right away.
I thought he could throw it outside too.
Right. But he looked like he saw the linebacker and was afraid that the linebacker was jumping
inside. Loggs tried to blame Denard Robinson on that he needed to come back to it. But I mean, the way he was running
– it wasn't a great route.
No, but it's a wheel route.
But
No, it's a wheel route. That's what
I know, but he could have.
Loggs' point was he should have stopped, planted his foot, and tried to come back through the defender. I think that's really difficult to do.
I don't think
that. I think that ball's thrown outside a little bit more. If it's outside, away from the defender.
To the corner of the end zone.
And he also did this.
Loggs and I disagree. We never disagree, but that was the one time we disagreed.
So that one, the one that the Rashad Greene on the little quick throw, that was
on his back, we critiqued that one. That was a bad throw.
The throw to Allen Robinson was a little behind him, but I think he saw the safety.
But
Allen Robinson
got to catch it.
Got to catch it. And the one inside, he has to catch that one.
Catch that too.
So, yeah, there were drops. But all in all, he's a different guy. That's a different quarterback.
Well, I'll say it's a different offense. Yes. We said this last week, but you get this sense like they have a plan, what they want to do and how they're going to do it, and they just look better.
Still have no speed. No, none.
Not fast.
Zero.
Not fast.
And that's going to be a problem. That's going to be – all this stuff that you're seeing now, they start squatting on everything. It's going to be a problem coming regular season. When is Marquise Lee getting back?
Huge problem.
Ever?
For the Patriots last year, no speed.
Is Marquise Lee ever coming back?
Who knows?
I don't know.
There's no time to.
I think this week maybe. There's a chance. It was a 4 to 6 week injury. Wasn't it 4 to 6 that Gus said at one point or someone said, but he's on the – I don't remember.
It's been a month now.
He's not practicing right now.
Oh, he's not? No. So it must be – or maybe it was an 8 week injury and he's up above. I don't know. I'll be honest with you.
Is this like one of those things they did to Fred Taylor when he tore his groin off the bone
and he said
week to week?
This group wouldn't do that. I'll be honest with you, and I'm a big Marquise Lee fan because I'm an SC fan. It's my school, my people. I've almost like – I don't want to say written him off. But it's like out of sight, out of mind because I think he's been here for three.
Well, that's a problem.
He's been here like three OTAs this year. No, I mean, not three OTAs. Three practices, including all of OTAs. Three practices.
That's a problem. That's a problem. That's a huge problem for their offense. Where's the speed come from? Who stretches the field?
Is anyone getting cut that can run?
No, don't cut people who can run.
I know.
So that's something. Now when Julius Thomas comes back, that'll help.
He stretches the field.
That'll help
in the middle
open
of the
it up.
Field.
But there's no.
No, over
vertical
the top.
Over the top.
Sure.
That's a problem.
And you and I disagree a little bit. I don't know if you have to have that over the top speed. I know you feel like every team has it, but they don't.
Or something to compensate for it.
Okay.
Like in Seattle, they Wilson's ability to run the football
and power
get outside
run
the pocket,
game.
The power run game.
They build their whole offense.
New England has Tom Brady. He compensates for it with
Gronk.
Yeah, so you got to have something to where's the compensation here?
Yeah, I think it has to be Julius Thomas.
It's a lot to ask. It's a lot to ask.
No, I don't disagree. And they got to be able to run the ball. And that's why T.J. Yeldon's got to play
this week. I can't wait to see him this week.
He's got to play this week.
He will.
Was there a red jersey today?
No red jersey today. He's practicing. He should be ready to go on
Saturday. He's got to play. I worry about that. I mean, from the sense of – not that I think he can do it, but he's a rookie. No, you got to take some hits in this league before it starts for real.
Real
hits. Like get smacked.
Right.
And he hasn't done it yet. So.
Plus, don't you want to see him play? I mean,
yes.
Forget about the hits.
Guess what?
You want
when
to
he
see
rushes
him.
For 1,500 yards, then he can take the whole preseason off.
Right. Like Adrian Peterson does.
If I was a coach, I wouldn't give Adrian Peterson. I wouldn't give LeSean McCoy. I wouldn't give any of these guys
like
a rep.
DeMarco Murray had a couple.
No, that's stupid.
Right.
Why are you giving reps? You know what he can run the ball.
I agree.
But that's just me.
Dress rehearsal games, starters will go a little longer into the third quarter. How long you want to see them?
I think first series of the third quarter.
That's it.
Get out.
Yeah, that's all you need. And this will be a good test for the offensive line because that Lions defensive line is getting after people.
They're pretty good.
Even without Sue.
Yeah, they're pretty good. They about killed.
Oh, my God. The Redskins offensive line isn't very good.
They're not that bad, though. I mean, it was a
– Scherf had a rough go of it.
Oh, 8 dropbacks, 6 hits.
Yeah, he got killed.
And everyone wants to kill RG3 like he's no good. And I'm not saying he is good, but
that's
not the game.
No, that's not
him. That's not the game to evaluate.
That's not on him.
I mean, JP, 8 times,
it was ugly.
6 hits.
I saw it.
You know what the interesting thing in this game
is? Is Anza playing well?
Yeah, played well last year. So it'll be Anza, and he's not – usually doesn't go to that side. That he flip-flops, I think, but – Anza and Jokel.
Does he play the open side?
Yeah. But Anza and Jokel, remember, that was the decision on draft day.
Yeah.
One of them. Deion Jordan was also in that mix at one point.
No, he was never in the mix, in my opinion.
No, but he was.
This would be a good matchup coming up on Friday night at 8 o'clock kick here at Everbank Field. Jags fans, this season we're giving you more. The Jags have teamed up with the Nimnik family of dealerships, and we'll be giving away a 2015 Buick Encore. For more information and to enter, visit Jaguars.com/Encore. We'll look at the Jags' injury situation, a few players back in the field today, and some transactions for the Jags. Plenty left. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Kick off the season with the coolest party in town. Don't miss the Back to Football Bash and the Roar calendar launch presented by FanDuel Thursday, September 10th at 6:30 p.m. Appearances from Gus Bradley, Dave Caldwell, and the Roar of the Jaguars. $2 draft beers, $3 cocktails during the first hour, a $5 cover charge. Visit jaguars.com/bash for more info.
Where's the bash?
The FanDuelville North Deck here at Everbank Field.
And that's going to be the release of the calendar.
Yes.
I know you will be there front row.
I will be there, yes.
Are you going to take down your last year's calendar and put up the new one? Or are you going to?
Well, it's still the year. We got months to go, but
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Hey, after that break that we just had and what he was talking about, I'm afraid he's going to eat my arm off.
I know. He's ripping at this cashew bag like he's looking for more cashews.
Can we tell him what your rant was?
I'm fine with that. I mean,
Pacelli's mad because he wants to be able to eat whatever the hell he wants, when he wants, how he wants.
Yeah. I think my question is, would you rather eat whatever you want and enjoy it and, let's say, live to 80, or eat really healthy and live to 85? And I said, give me 80, eat what I want.
Until you turn 79. Then you'd be like, darn, I wish I had eaten healthy.
So you'd give up all the pasta, all the pizza, and never eaten any of that stuff?
See, but you also got to think.
I'm asking you the question. Lasagna and good meat.
I don't want to, no.
Okay.
I'm with you. I think about it a lot. I'm
so
with
the
you.
Whole time you're going to be living, you're going to get to 80 and go, I'm 85,
but
I'm dead now, and I didn't
eat
anything.
Stuff. You just got to
so
eat it.
So you're not going to eat
gyms?
He's
had three,
gyms?
Three
no
pieces
gyms?
Of cake last night.
So, yeah, that's my argument was as
three
a
pieces of cake
as the youngest
good.
Guy in this room, if you, well,
you
eat
look the
like,
oldest.
If you eat like that. But work out better.
No.
It doesn't work like that. At what age does it stop working?
Like 40. It doesn't matter how much.
It might even be 35.
I better enjoy it while I can.
Yeah. How old are you?
33.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
You're done.
It doesn't matter.
I'm done.
You can work out 8 hours a day, and if you don't eat well, nothing happens.
Right. Correct. That's 100% accurate. So, needless to say, the three pieces of cake you had last night.
Oh, so good. I enjoyed it.
You could have one. Why didn't you have one?
But I'm happy.
Guess what? You felt so bad after you ate all three of them.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
Because I ate one. And I said, you know what? That was really good. I'm going to have another one. And I said, boy, that was good. And I'm going to have another one. And I went to bed that night. I told my wife, I said, you know what? I shouldn't eat three pieces of cake, so I'm going to eat better tomorrow, and I'll get off the sugar. At lunch, my office brought cookies in. And I sat there looking at the cookies, and the thought went through my mind. Why am I going to deny myself of enjoying those cookies? Why would I do that? So I can live? I might get hit by a bus tomorrow. But I want to go down enjoying cookies.
You know what?
And then I went home before I came to football, and I had another piece of cake.
For decades, people ate, like the Italian people.
And they're fine.
They
go
eat
to
the
Europe.
Hundreds.
Those Italians are like 50, 150
but
eating
they eat
that.
Little bits and pieces of it, Tony. They don't eat everything like we. We eat mass portions of it.
Why can't I do it?
Because you like to eat.
I'm Tony Vaselli, and I want you on my team.
That's you can right. Get in the game.
And I want you.
Bring me some chocolate pudding. Yeah. Chocolate pudding. Chocolate pudding.
Smart. Make
you know
a
what?
Play if you'll score.
Bring me some chocolate pudding.
I want you on my team. Don't be left on the sideline.
Chocolate pudding.
That's become a part of me. Always will be. Help make the magic happen. To me?
Chocolate pudding. Chocolate pudding. Chocolate pudding.
Smart.
Was I supposed to get a trophy for that?
You know, we got to get the sports coat ad, by the way. If you keep eating like that, you're not getting your sports coat.
Yeah. Or sport coat.
Sports sport coat. Sports coat.
Whatever.
They
same
still play
thing.
That ad.
None of them would fit either way.
Keep eating. They're not going to fit
that
any
That was
of
my
them.
Rant at the break.
Okay.
Injury.
So we need to get back to.
Let's get to back to Jaguars news today. Injury news today. The Jaguars waived injured Damian Copeland, wide receiver. Brennan Williams, the offensive lineman, really has been placed on injured reserve today. A few signings: Eric Laura, the wide receiver, first-year player; third-year linebacker Mr. Alexander, and rookie offensive lineman Will Corbin, all signed by the Jaguars.
Is it Mr. Alexander a Florida State grad?
Yes, he is.
He is.
Played with the Texans for a while.
Third-year linebacker. He's been around the league, yes. Yeah. Yeldon and James Sample slated to play this week. Also, Chris Clemens will be on the field. How will he, Clemens, help this pass rush, guys?
Well, I said I had concerns, and my biggest concern watching this team and watching the tape afterwards is defensively, and specifically the pass rush. I don't see it.
I mean, I don't either.
The only time if they're not running some sort of game, like a TE or a TET twist, where they twist and move around, they're not winning one-on-one. And I guess you just run a lot of games and blitzes and hope you get there and you manufacture pressure, because right now guys aren't winning one-on-one. And I'm not seeing Branch win one-on-one. And working against a rookie.
It's a contract year for him.
Working
and
against
he's
a rookie
to win
tackle.
Those.
I mean, they need Clem to come back, and you hope that Clem, you know, he had 8 sacks last year, but he's getting older.
3-1 game.
But you just hope that he can be that. But he got pressure at least last year.
He's
you
got-
hope he can be that he's in shape, and whatever happened in the offseason, whatever the issue was, that it's all behind him and that he can be ready, because they need a pass rush. And Sen's going to be back, but he's not going to be 100% ready to go right away. I mean, it's going to take time for him to get back into football shape and comfortable in the explosion, which makes him such a great player. So I worry about the pass rush.
This is going to sound awful when I say it, but this reminds me a little bit of Atlanta, in that there was a veteran guy like Abraham who'd flash, you know, at times, and then they kept saying drafting guys and saying this young guy's going to emerge, this young guy. Whether you know what I'm talking about, whether it's Jonathan Massaqua or all these guys, you know, they and none of them ever did. Now here we keep hearing that Ryan Davis, Chris Smith,
but those guys aren't high draft picks.
No, but
the
no,
high
but
draft
they,
pick got hurt.
They're not high draft. I'm not talking about a high draft pick. I'm talking about we keep. Hearing,
I know, but Atlanta spent high draft picks.
Yeah, third,
okay,
fourth.
Some first,
yeah.
But my point is, the guy they drafted to come rush the passer.
But these young
blew his
guys
knee out.
Have these young guys stepped up like we?
What draft pick?
I'm not talking about the draft pick, but you keep hearing about Ryan Davis and Chris Smith.
Ryan Davis is their best pass rusher right now. Yeah,
is he going to put his hand on the ground and line up against an offensive tackle and beat him?
No, he's a better sub rusher at the three technique.
Of course. So where's the guy to put his hand on the ground and go up the field? They don't have that.
Well, he had surgery.
That's the problem, and that's going to show up on a weekly basis too. A year ago at this moment. At this moment a year ago, the defense was significantly better than the offense, correct?
Yes.
The offense is better than defense
now. And at every point during the year.
And the offense is better than defense now.
I would say I have less concerns offensively than defensively right now, yes.
So,
which is the first time I've said that in a lot of years.
Yeah. There's no doubt that the offense has passed the defense. And, you know, and the secondary.
Colvin's going to be a good player.
Colvin's going to be a really
good
player.
And I'll tell you who else I thought played well. Devon House.
Loston will be okay.
But House. I watched House like play in and play out. I thought he played well.
For a backup, Loston did some good things the other day.
Yeah.
He's not a starter, but for backup he did okay.
You know what makes those guys better, though, is a good pass rush. You got to have that to help that second.
Yeah, the ball came out fast the other night.
And Gus said that's New York's
M.O.
Ball
comes out pretty fast.
The Giants
get it out pretty fast.
Yeah, but
not
historically.
Fast. It wasn't fast enough that you couldn't get pressure on them, though. They got nothing. And that's not exactly a great offensive line, either.
No.
I mean, that's a concern.
I would have liked to see a little bit more winning.
But the other side of that is this, Tony. If you get into a regular season game and you stop in the run – and there's an obvious passing situation.
It helps you.
Yeah. So, you know, that
– No, I'm not
Audrick
looking –
and Miller.
I know, I'm not looking at numbers. I'm looking at when guys get one-on-one chances to rush the passer, are they winning? Now, listen, I get that they can manufacture and do things, and it's always different when you get into the regular season. But you would like to see guys winning one-on-one. Forget anything else. Forget – I'm not even saying get to the quarterback. I'm not even saying hit the quarterback. Just that you win one-on-one, and even if the ball's out, you're like, okay, if he had to hold the ball, he's going to get hit.
Loggemann is protective of his defensive linemen like you are of the offensive linemen. Yes, you are. So how did what's he say about it?
I think he's concerned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's been a big proponent of some of those guys. Like, he's a Ryan Davis guy. I know that.
Like Ryan Davis for the role that he plays as a sub pass rusher.
What they don't have
just
is
for
Tony Braggins in his heyday.
Everyone who says, what does sub pass rusher mean? That means third down pass rusher.
He goes inside.
Inside. That's right.
But they don't have Tony Braggins.
No.
That's the problem.
No. I mean,
they've been searching for that guy.
That's who they drafted. They drafted Fowler to be that guy. And hopefully he is next year. He got hurt. Nothing that anyone can do about it.
Alden Smith. Alden Smith.
I haven't heard much. No one's really picked up on our champion.
No.
I guess we're not GMs.
What do you make of the Scuda pass rushing idea here?
Well, he was probably the best pass rusher one-on-one last.
He also didn't get much work in the because of the way the Giants played with three receivers. So he was coming off the field early, so he got some work that way. He's a good football player. He'll be a solid football player.
I think he's a good rotational guy on third down.
He's not.
Oh, he's
put
not.
Your hand on the ground. Go up the field, beat
win
somebody,
and
knock the ball out in the fourth quarter. Good, but he can. He's a good football player. Is what he is.
Yeah,
solid football player. They don't have that guy, JP. They just don't. Like you said, he got hurt, and they don't have him now. If Clemens can give him, you know, if he drank from the fountain of youth or something, and his summer off helps him. I mean, because he took the summer off, right? He hadn't done a damn thing.
I need the summer off then. If that works. I'll take the summer off.
And he dropped a lot of weight, too. He's down from his playing weight last year, 10 or 15 pounds.
What's he weighing?
He said he was down in weight when he first came back to camp.
So has he gained it back? Is he trying to gain it back? What's
I don't know.
Plan
I think that
then?
Was
no,
the idea
he
was
to get.
He wanted to get faster and lighter.
But how much does he weigh then?
240. He's probably 255, 260 last year.
Boy, I mean, I'd be like, oh, okay, good.
Well, the game has become a speed game.
But it takes away any power. It's an offensive tackle. You're not even worried.
No, he can't be that light. What do they list him at?
Let's see. Chris Clemens is listed at 254 pounds.
Right now.
So he played this roster right here.
So he played 270 last year?
He might be a little lighter than that.
He played at 270?
No, that's last year's weight, I guarantee you. I bet you he's like 245, 240.
You think it's too light? Say it.
Just say it.
I worry. Yes.
Why? Because when you're a tackle lining up against a guy like that, Simeon Rice?
I'm not worried about the power.
Right. So you played Simeon Rice.
Yeah. No problem.
You don't have to worry about the power.
No.
Right. So how about the run game?
Oh, just try to kill him.
Right.
No, I mean, you have to worry about them jumping around a little bit, but you might embarrass me once, but I'm going to try to beat the stew out of you.
It's no matter who it is. So ideally, okay.
Now, if he gets like – a lot, like if it helps him with quickness and he can bend the corner and get there, and
then it's worth it.
Like a perfect example is Michael McCrary.
Yeah,
he was 245,
right?
But he played with such amazing leverage,
right?
He felt like he was 265,
right?
So if he can use that, I mean, if this lighter weight feels like he can bend his knees better and play with better leverage, then maybe it can work.
Ideal scenario for the front. Ideal. Give me the ideal scenario.
What
for the season?
Like how many sacks are going to get?
Yeah, just who's there doing it, creating the habit? Is it?
So, okay, here's your idea. Like this is like Nirvana.
Ready?
Clem, Fountain of Youth.
How many?
Eight.
You got to get more than eight.
Okay, 10.
Okay.
10 sacks.
I mean, that's Nirvana.
Right.
Marks
back to being Marks.
Branch. Let's go, Leo. Branch gives you 6.5.
Okay. Good luck with that.
16.5 combined.
Good luck with that.
Ryan Davis from that sub gives you 4 in his sub rush.
20.5.
He should give you more than that.
If you're only rushing sub and a lot of twists, let's say 4.
All right.
Let's go 5. We'll be generous. I'll go
21.5.
I think Sendarek Marks is shut out possibly for the first 3 or 4 games and then gets his feet underneath him, and I think he gets 7. And that's big. That's Nirvana, 8.
8.5.
He's not getting 7 this year.
I'm being Nirvana. I'm like,
okay. So you're at 28.5.
All right.
Roy Miller just won.
Odrick.
29.5.
Roy will be mad if he hears me say he got one. That's my guy, too. I love Roy Miller. Is a heck of a football
Odrick.
I love Roy Miller. Watching him play.
Yeah, he's a load in this.
Taking double teams.
He's so tough.
Yeah, sure.
Odrick, Logs and I have a bet. What's our bet again?
I lost track.
We have a dinner bet. Logs thinks he's going to get like 7.
Way high.
I said he's going to get
4.
I said under 4.
I say four.
But he can move on that inside three technique
he's
too,
a four.
Right?
He's a run ball. He's a run guy.
He's four at most.
Okay, we'll give him four.
That's an easy bet.
Right, so four, you're at 33 and a half sacks for the team.
No, we got to track the backup sack.
Scooter will have five.
Okay. That's 38 and a half.
A blitz.
Telvin Smith will have four. Just from
42 and a half.
Polesny will have two.
44 and a half.
The secondary will have two or three.
And the secondary will have two.
All right. 46 and a half.
That's
and then you're not talking about backups, like when they come in on this.
Well, that's, but it's 46. We had 45 last year. Let's not get, I mean, we're getting ahead of ourselves. 46 and a half sacks would be amazing if this group pulled that off. And it's going to be, if they do that, because they don't have, I mean, we're saying Clem gets back. Derek Marks feels better by week four, where he's ready to go and do what he did last year. Because I think the secondary is going to be better this year than they were last year, so I think the quarterbacks will be forced to hold the ball a little bit more. And Bob Babich is going to have to dial up some blitzes.
Yep.
You're going to have to bring pressure.
Kiss Game Day parking hassles goodbye with the JTA Stadium Shuttle. Five convenient park and ride locations to choose from for Jags games. Tickets start at $7. And for more information, visit JTAFLA.com. Plenty left to get to on Jaguars Monday. Offensive line, position by position breakdown by Tony Boselli. He's excited about that. And your calls a little bit later tonight at hour two, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HenneyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
The Jaguars back to football kickoff luncheon is back Tuesday, September 1st at Everbank Field. Join Shad Khan, Mark Lamping, Dave Caldwell, Gus Bradley, and Jags players. Celebrate the partnership of the business community with the Jaguars. Reserve your premium table and tickets today. Visit Jaguars.com. Click the Foundation tab and find Football Luncheon. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco, Jaguars Monday. We talked a little bit about defensive backs, but James Sample practiced without a red jersey today. The rookie out of Louisville, the safety, broke an arm during OTAs, and it sounds like he'll get some playing time on Friday, likely with the twos, but he'll get some playing time. And how realistic is him having a chance to maybe even – could he win the free safety job?
Sure, why not? But he plays better than everyone else. I mean, it's a tall task for a rookie who hasn't played at all.
Right.
Yeah. Right. But
he was around for most of the OTAs before.
Yeah, but I mean, come on. But, you know, I mean.
Speed of the game.
Listen, as much as I say that, I mean, it'd be a hard, long shot for him to do it. I'm also a firm believer if you can play, you can play. I mean, really. I mean, not that you, like, some guys it takes time to grow into it, but there are some guys who can just play football.
But
at
him,
this level, and so if he's that guy, and suppose he's super smart,
it's a little bit of an adjustment for him, though, because he was a strong safety in college. So now he's going to be playing free safety, if that's the case.
Well, I guess he was a really bright guy and picks up schemes really quickly.
He picked up that Louisville defense very fast. Came in late,
right?
To
as
camp
a
in
JUCO, right?
Yeah. Didn't he play a little bit of free tackles for Louisville, or was it all strong?
Moved them around, but mostly strong. Look, if you're good, like Tony said, if you're good, you're good.
Yeah,
and it's not like.
It's not like free safety.
Now, Eric Weddle or anything.
I mean, let's be honest. Free safety ain't the hardest position in the NFL to play.
It's gotten a lot harder. It's gotten a lot harder.
Look at that eye roll.
First of all, Pete, in this defense, which is not a difficult defense, and the coaches will tell you that.
Well, you better be good at it.
Yeah, but their philosophy is let's make it simple so guys can play fast. And so, and the free safety is playing center field.
But he's got to be able to go from sideline to sideline, and there are guys to do it.
Okay, my point is, we'll know whether he can run or not, whether he has ball skills or not. That's the key.
You got to be. I mean, look, Earl Thomas is probably the guy who makes the Seattle defense go because he plays free safety in that defense,
and he just goes
right. I'm not saying it's all. It's you know.
My point is, I don't think when I say it's not the hardest position mentally is what I'm trying to say. I know it's a tough position, but I don't know if mentally it's the most difficult position to play.
Great quarterbacks can kill a free safety with their eyes and move them and everything else. But, yeah, I get your point. The way that defense is played now.
They're a single high 80% of the time, whatever the statistics are.
You better be able to go sideline to sideline.
Right, but that's a physical thing. You either can do that or not.
And how many guys can do that in this league?
Well, not very many. But
right. That's why the position has a
premium. Hopefully James Sample can be one of them.
Do you think he can?
I don't know. We haven't seen him do it yet. No one does. No one can tell you whether he can or not.
They're hard to find. That's why Devin McCourty was such a hot commodity.
Yeah.
And now the Patriots are playing him a corner again.
Because they don't have any corners.
Still, come on. He's a great free safety in a so-so
corner. He does whatever he wants. I know. Crazy.
How's Brown been for you, Sergio Brown?
Fine. He made a nice play on that first. I'm pretty sure it was him. Yeah, 38. Ran, covered a lot of ground on that first deep ball
to Beckham.
Beckham, he had beat McCray.
That was a touchdown.
And he shows – and he
so when he put great, a shoulder into him?
Well, great range enough where Beckham knew he was there as the ball was coming.
But it was an underthrow. It should have been a touchdown.
I understand that, but the range of right. – it was a good play.
Yeah, that's what you want to see. You want to see a guy be able to go from sideline to sideline. And, you know, if you can do that, you can play.
Listen, the safety position is a question, in my opinion.
Yep.
Listen,
not as much as the defensive front.
But it's a question. I mean, yeah. And I'm a big Jonathan Zipporian fan. Huge. But he's got to have a better year. He's got to take a step. I mean, Woggs and I talk about it on the broadcast. We've talked about it here on Thursday nights. I know Pete feels the same way. Everyone says, well, we got the strong safety. We just need to find a free safety. Well, we think we know who the strong safety is, but he's got to play better.
See, I think if they have the right free safety,
and let him
he'd
just
be
play
better as a strong safety down in that box, like Cam Chancellor type of player. I'm not saying he's Cam Chancellor, but in that role.
Cam's not coming to camp.
Yeah, sure he will. Like he's going to miss a game.
I saw your comments.
Of course. You know better than that, just like I do.
You liked Loston.
I mean, for a backup guy, he came in and did, yeah. You know, he was serviceable. Look, they have problems. Okay, Tony said, they have major problems back there.
Yeah. I didn't say major.
I put major on.
I said concerns.
Well.
Unknown. But here's the difference. I think Sip can play strong safety. I think he has the talent to do it. Like, I think he's just got comfortable playing. I mean, get and do it.
Let me ask you this. Because Sergio Brown started in Indy, and now Dwight Lowry started in Indy.
What's your point?
Wasn't Dwight Lowry here once upon a time?
A long time ago, though.
Yeah, I know. But
that's been a while. Wow.
Yeah, a long time ago. Yeah. So.
The safety.
But back to James Sample, we'll see.
Safety position's a problem in a lot of places, by the way.
We'll see about James Sample. It'll be interesting.
Tune in to Jaguars All Access TV tonight, 7 o'clock. That's about 15 minutes away. How about DVR?
DVR that and watch it and listen to us.
Listen to us. It's Sam Kavaris, Jeff Lagerman, and the special guest tonight is wide receiver Allen Robinson, live from Black Sheep in Riverside tonight. That's on Channel 4 tonight at 7. How about the offensive line talk? That's coming up next. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HenneyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
As you prepare for Friday's game, don't forget the clear bag policy. Fans can bring items in a clear bag no larger than 12 by 6 by 12 inches. That includes food, Tony, for you. Gallon clear freezer bags and clutch-style purses.
Where's all the money go to?
The Jags and Dailies have teamed up to provide NFL-approved clear plastic tote bags available with a $5 charitable donation benefiting the Tony Baselli Foundation.
So I would like everyone to go buy like 100 bags each. So just give $500 for 100 bags, everyone, or 100 for 20, and it goes to the foundation.
It goes to the foundation. For more info.
Helps kids.
Yeah.
Visit jaguars.com/all clear. But the point of that, you can bring food to the stadium.
This is actually a good week to, if you're a fan and you want to go to a preseason game, this is the one to go to.
Dress rehearsal game. Right. Yeah.
I'll be there even this week.
Really?
Thank you for gracing our presence.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that later.
It's a CBS game, too.
It is. Nationally televised, 8 o'clock. Kevin Harlan. Dan Fouts.
Yep.
Oh, Foutsy's coming.
Yeah, good crew.
Very good.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
How do you suppose they picked the Jags for this game, for the nationally televised game? Is that?
Probably picked the Lions.
Pick the Lions. Okay.
That hurts.
Well, I mean, that's the reality
that
of
hurts,
it.
That hurts, though.
Calvin Johnson, Stafford.
Yeah.
Guys like that.
But it's also good that, I mean, the same teams can be on in the preseason over and over again. It's good for the networks to change them up.
Change it up.
Like Tampa Bay's on tonight. Now, Winston's playing, so obviously that's why they're on. But
and the Jags had a
Monday night game, ESPN? Yeah. Who are they playing tonight?
Cincinnati, the loaded Bengals.
I remember last year the Monday night crew worked a Jags game in Chicago last year.
They did?
Yes. So there you have it.
Do we put too much credence in the preseason performances? I say yes.
Well, I think it's too long.
It's way too long.
It should be over right now.
The other
We've seen enough, haven't you? I mean, couldn't you pick the teams?
They could have picked the teams before they started preseason.
No, but I mean
– weekend.
And now you miss Jordan Jordy Nelson being out. I mean, it's just
Pilty
terrible.
Went down yesterday.
Yeah.
What would you bring it down to? Two games?
Two.
Jordy would have still gotten hurt. It's week two.
No, I'm not – still, people are still going to get hurt. That's not my point. That's not why I'm saying it.
It stinks.
I actually think you could do one and be ready to go.
It's pretty boring.
As a player?
As a player.
Oh, here's the – let me say this. In college, guess how many preseason games you have? Zero.
Zero.
Right. You go play a real game. And I didn't know any better. So I mean, it wasn't like I wasn't ready to play. I was ready to play. I had 2 weeks of camp. Go play a football game. My goodness. What else? I mean, that's what you do for a living. And so the preseason, in my opinion, is not to get veterans ready to play. The preseason is for the GM and the scouts to evaluate probably the last 10 spots of the roster.
Not even 10. It's probably like 6 or 7.
Okay, whatever it is.
I agree with you.
And so what I would do, if I had a magic wand.
I can't wait for this.
What I would do.
We'd probably agree on this.
I would make training camp 3 weeks. I would be part of that 3 week process would be a 3 to 4 day period where every team paired up with another team and had live practices.
Yes.
That were controlled. And then you would.
Not hitting.
What?
Not hitting.
Not full. Not
9-on-7 Tom Coughlin drills.
Oh, yeah. Every once in a while. Yeah. You get after it during practice. And then you would have opening weekend and you'd play 18 regular season games.
Me.
No preseason. No, I mean, none.
Oh, I'd probably have. I think your idea for one preseason.
Okay, maybe one, but I would.
And then what you do is you have a scrimmage, a three or four day thing
with another team,
but at a site where people who normally can't go to the game come. For example, if Atlanta, if Atlanta and Tampa did it, I mean Atlanta and Jacksonville did it, they do it in Valdosta at their stadium. If Tampa and Miami did it, they do it somewhere down like in Orlando or something. So people that don't get the taste of the NFL will get a taste of the NFL. You bring in more fans. You go there for 2 or 3 days. Or even if you just have to go there for the night and do it that night.
Yeah, but I would make it 18 regular season games. Either zero or one preseason.
But you know what you're going to run into with the 18 regular season games?
Union.
And why? Now with all the concussion stuff, the concussion stuff going on.
That's stupid. Here's the thing. You can get a concussion week one just as likely as you can get one week 18.
But you don't play, but two more games is two more risks, they'll say.
Okay, so should we cancel the playoffs for the teams to make the playoffs?
Hey, I'm with you. I agree. Right, 18.
Come on. I mean,
what, and if you give them more money, they'll say yes to 18.
Yes. I'll just say this. As a player, if we had said, we're going to pay you, and just I'll make it easy numbers, $1 million to play 16 games. But we'll pay you $1.2 million to play 18 games. I'll play 18 games. I'm in.
And less preseason.
No preseason.
Right.
Or one.
Right.
I don't want to play preseason.
Right.
It's a waste of time.
You don't get paid anyways in the preseason.
Well, but forget if you did. It's stupid. I don't like it. The games don't mean anything. So let's just go play. And guess what? I feel like crap after about week 6 physically. And it just doesn't get – it just – for the rest of the year, I feel that way. So what's the difference if I play 16 or 18? In the years we went to the AFC title game or played in the playoffs.
You didn't play 18 and 19. 99, you didn't play.
No, but I'm just saying my point is.
But in 96, you played 19 games. Right.
I felt no.
Right. I'm with you.
Owners make money on preseason games?
Hell yeah.
That's where they make all the money.
That's where it's not going to change.
Yeah, but
if the networks will pay them enough, it will.
And the other thing is, if you start continuing
and the
to
fans,
see the disgruntled fan and turned off by the injuries and everything else, I mean, let's be real. 15 years ago, 20 years ago, if Jordy Nelson goes down in a preseason game, the angst isn't nearly as much. Why? Because every person in America's playing fantasy football now, and they're oh my god, I had my draft already, and I drafted Jordy Nelson. This is awful. But now, so the uproar is more. So when that starts getting to the point where it gets worse and worse and worse, and the money starts coming, and the players, if I'm a player and you give me an extra 3 weeks off, one preseason game, pay me more money and play 2 regular season games, why wouldn't you do that?
Or just no preseason or one preseason and have 2 bye weeks. 2 bye weeks would be better and the body gets rested.
Didn't they do 2 bye weeks a number of years ago for like 1 year or something?
It was
a while back,
yeah.
Though.
But if you do 2 bye weeks, then 18 weeks of the season playing 16 games still?
No, 20 weeks, play 18 weeks, just move it up. Yeah.
Oh.
18 games, 2 bye weeks, and let's
go. I'm okay with that.
The season takes forever then.
Who cares? People in this country wish football was 12 months a year anyways. You're going to start it?
Yeah, it would be the same.
Start it the second week of – August or the third week of August and
start when the preseason would be.
Yeah, absolutely.
Gotcha. Then you start getting into that Canadian Football League.
Yeah, you don't want to mess up their schedule.
I mean, the preseason to me is just.
It's awful. It's getting worse.
Nonsensical.
Follow the Jags to London this season for the October 25th game at Wembley against the Buffalo Bills. Great packages available direct from the National Football League, including once-in-a-lifetime experiences, NFL-only parties, access to VIP areas, flights, hotels, and more. Visit NFLonlocation.com for more info or call 866-890-1799 to speak with a travel expert today. Offensive line talk, position-by-position breakdown. Bocelli, Prisco, that's coming up next. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
J.P. Shadrick, Tony Bocelli, Pete Prisco.
Outstanding.
Jaguars Monday.
You're bad, J.P.
Second hour. Phone lines are open now. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. We'll get to some calls
crazy
coming up.
Crazy segment coming up.
Why am I bad?
Because you went to get coffee.
Yes.
And you specifically brought back cookies, so you put them in front of Bocelli and watch him eat them.
I'm going to.
And
you know why?
Guess what?
He's eating them.
Because I told you, I don't care anymore.
You had chips.
I'm going to enjoy my life. I've had some mixed nuts with dried fruit.
You get somebody sent over a pie for him and watch him eat the whole damn thing.
French onion sun chips.
We get pizza pie sent over here for you. Get the whole thing eaten. We want to see
two
it.
Two sweet teas, two coffees, and now I have some blueberry.
It's unsweet tea.
Oh, I've had some type of blueberry breakfast cookie. And if you bring a pizza in, I'll eat that too right now.
He's a new man.
Last week
he was like, season.
I'm going to run marathons.
No, I've decided. Because the other thing is I'm married. My wife likes me. She thinks I'm sexy. What does it matter?
Oh, now he's good.
Yeah. Oh, well.
He just dropped his cookie in his coffee. Yeah, it's even better.
You distracted yourself. offensive line talk. Stefan Wisniewski named the starting center today by head coach Gus Bradley. We said it off the top of the show. It's the performance in the Giants game was just better by Wisniewski.
Yeah, he played better.
That's it.
I mean, there's nothing wrong.
Better or good?
He played good and better.
I thought he played good too. I want to hear you say it.
I thought he played well.
All right, he was
physical. Did a great job reach blocking, getting up. I mean, he is a physical player. So, I handicapped it before the game that Luke was ahead. That played better. I thought he did play better week one, but if you look at both games and put them all, Wiz won the job, and that's what competition does. And I'm not taking anything away from Luke Buenco. He still might be one of your five best linemen.
You could play with Luke Buenco and get more than
He still might be one of your five best linemen.
All right, so let's get to that then.
Well, Gus Bradley said today that Buenco's probably going to get some work at tackle. What? And they feel he could be the sixth guy.
Well, he's not better than those two. He's not starting there.
He
wouldn't start there, but he could be a sixth guy right now.
Well, okay, so what
that's what Gus said.
He's got the bullseye. I know where you're going. If you want to go there, you're putting the bullseye on Beatles. I mean, because he's not better. He clearly got beat out for the center position.
Yeah.
He ain't beating out Linder.
Not better than Linder.
He's not better than Parnell.
No.
And he's not playing left tackle ahead of Luke.
No.
So you put it on Beatles.
I think he can compete for that job. Now, Beatles has been solid.
Beatles, because they were raving about it. Gus actually mentioned Beatles by name the other day.
He's been solid. I'm not going to take we've been fair and tough like we do on every player when we talk on Monday night or Jeff and I talk Thursday night. We try to just call it as we see it and be fair. And so if I'm doing that, Beatles has played. He's been solid. He's getting better. He's
still
playing
better.
Still gets a little too high for me. And I think a little bit more oomph would be nice, but he has played better. And he's playing better than Can right now.
Yeah, Can hasn't.
I don't think he had a great game.
No,
it
hasn't come on yet.
Nope.
So that whole battle possibility, that's
in my
not
opinion,
happening.
It's over.
Right. It's done.
Beatles won that job. But if you're going to make Buenco the backup center, I'd like to see what he can do at guard. I'm not saying he's better than Beatles, but he's physical. He's tough. Maybe he's better. I don't know. I'd like to see him have an opportunity.
So why at tackle then? Because Wells has a bad hand?
Because Wells has a dislocated finger, and they need a swing guy. And you got to remember, some of the roster decisions they make, Pete, and you know this, isn't just for the 53-man roster, but it's 45-day active. We're only going to have seven offensive linemen active. So you need
Position flexibility.
Flexibility. If Winkle gives you that, that's why.
Speaking of the Beatles, well, we go to the United Kingdom and say hello to Chris. He wants to talk about Bowenko. What's
up,
Chris?
Can't keep Chris on hold too long. He's a long-distance call.
I'm fine, thank you. You guys were just going on about the center battle between Wisniewski and Bowenko and how Wisniewski won the job, and with Gus announcing with Bowenko getting some reps at tackle, does Bowenko have the feet, the hands, the power to play tackle, and can he play both tackles? And I'll take the answer off the air.
Appreciate the call. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. He's
does he work for Pro Football Focus?
I don't believe
it. I don't want to know what the ratings are. I'll lose my mind. I think Bowenko is, yes, he's long enough. He's strong enough. He has very good feet. He could play offense tackle, could be a swing guy. Well, he's not better than either of the starters right now. But could he be a swing guy that you could put
in
there?
He can play at any position along the line.
I agree.
Yeah, that's why there's value.
That's why he's so valuable.
Okay.
I'd like to see him.
You'd like to see him compete at left guard. Yeah. Just say it.
That's why I've already said it.
Okay, because Can is done. He's not competing.
No,
he's on the roster. He'll be on the roster.
Oh, yeah,
no
but he's
doubt.
Not ready to start.
No, heck no. For
I'll tell you who's ahead of him. Shatley played well again. He played right guard because Wells got hurt. They had to put Sam Young at left tackle.
Right.
So they needed someone to play right guard, and I thought Shatley came in and played well.
You're 7-0 on game day of the starting five, and then Bowenko.
Bowenko and Wells, if Wells is healthy. What'd they say about his thing today?
What about Pastor? Can I help you out?
Wells is a better tackle.
They've got to cast it up. We'll see what they can do with it.
So it would be Bowenko, Wells right
now. Cut the team. Cut the line right now.
If Wells isn't available, who you keep?
Yeah, Wells keep.
Who
Wells stays.
If Wells is not available?
Right.
Maybe Shatley or Pazdor. One of the two.
Let's
it depends if Bowenko can play tackle.
How many do they keep? 10?
9.
Okay, so the starting five, Can.
Yep.
Bowenko.
Yep.
Wells.
Yep.
It's 8. Pazdor.
Shatley. Or Pazdor, one of those two.
So
if you keep 10, they're keeping both of them.
So Pazdor could go from a guy who started to off the team.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I like Shatley. I like Pazdor, too. He gives you position flexibility. He can play a bunch of positions. Right. Shatley's only a center guard. He can't play tackle.
They might keep 10.
Yeah.
Goes back to the whole no fullback thing. There's an extra spot.
Yeah, but no fullback. You want to keep that extra tight end, I think. I don't see them getting rid of what's the guy's name from Notre Dame?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're going to get rid of him. What about the receivers?
Koyak.
How many receivers do you keep?
No more than 5. They're not deep. They're not good enough to keep more than 5.
Before we go down
would Ben have made a team?
He was in contention for that fifth guy because special teams.
Before we go too far down the roster, keeping.
You want to make sure we stay on the offensive line.
We like going roster keeping.
I know. Yeah, we'll get
GM.
To that. We got plenty of show left. We'll get to that.
All right.
The right side of this offensive line: Parnell right tackle, Linder at right guard, and
I don't think the right side was as good as week one. A little leakage. Parnell still played well. Linder had a couple.
He got beat
off snaps.
He got beat.
Yeah, I mean that's what I mean.
But I mean the guy. Well, I forget. Was it Hankins?
Colin Jenkins.
Was it Jenkins beat him inside one time on a play? Bad.
Bad set. I don't understand it. It was like almost he thought he was getting help inside. He sets outside to a head up technique. If you have a head up technique, you always set inside. Always. You never set outside if you have a head up technique.
But you don't know.
It looked like you set up in the, like he thought he was getting the slide help from Wisniewski.
Yeah, but you don't have to worry about him.
He's a good player. I was mocking everyone earlier that
right.
We should cut him now because
right.
everyone
last
wanted,
week.
Yeah, last week Jokel gives up one pressure or sack and they want to cut him. All he's right. terrible. Can't play this league.
All right, so Parnell was good.
Let's get rid of Linder now. He can't play either.
The last
overreaction time. Overreaction. Let's get the callers. Overreact.
Parnell's been their best lineman in over two games.
But individually I thought the best lineman was Wiz or Jokel last week.
No,
Jokel
but
played well.
Over the course of two games.
Yes, Parnell.
Okay, so Parnell's been really good. Linder, you know he's going to be good. Wisniewski played well the other night.
Yeah.
Left guard's still concerned. He's played better.
But he played better. Concerned. Let's give him credit. I thought Jokel played good Friday.
Jokel played good
Saturday night.
Saturday night. But the holding penalty, I thought it was a garbage call.
Oh, ticky tack.
Yeah,
oh.
Very. You would have complained about that.
Oh, I'd have been screaming.
I know.
Screaming.
I was surprised they didn't complain more about it.
I'd have been yelling at the guy.
I know. That was a bad call.
I've been
call.
In the umpire's ear saying, you
yeah.
moron.
That was a bad call. But so I thought the line was – the over the course of the 2 weeks, the line is, aside from the one sack that Joku gave up, the first team lines played pretty well.
And really,
solid.
We're going to go back to one sack, though.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying, aside from that, they've been solid. They've been solid as a group. That's an improved area.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Is it the strongest position group on the team?
It's funny because a year ago, that was another one that might have been the one of the weakest.
So is it the strongest? Let's think about that. It's a great question. Great question, JP.
Thank you for the credit.
It is. We got to give JP credit
for
that.
Thank you.
That's the first good question you've asked in 2 weeks.
In 2 years.
In 3 years, yes.
Yes, long time. No, it is not the best position group.
Okay.
Tight end is the strongest position group on this team.
I would agree with you. When? When Thomas is on the field.
Yeah, sure.
Right now it's not.
No, but I mean, you assume Thomas is going to be ready for the season. And then I would say your second best unit.
Probably the offensive line.
Yeah. Probably the offensive line.
Unless you want to count quarterback. I think quarterback might end up being better than the offensive line.
If TJ Yeldon's healthy, running back. I mean, you know what's scary right now? It's mostly offense. If you start thinking last year, you wouldn't have said that.
No.
I think our starting linebackers are pretty good, but no depth there now with LeRoy Reynolds. How long did they say he's out with that MCL?
They didn't have a true
timetable.
They
had an MRI today, didn't they?
Yeah. They said it was MCL, right? I read that.
That was
Ryan
the original
Halloran said.
But they still don't know the extent. Yeah.
So you're really thin there.
Kari Fort had a knee thing too, but still no extent on
it. Yeah, I'm not sure Kari was going to make the team. It would have been close.
Well, Armbrust would be on the team, right?
I don't know. They like Jeremiah George.
He'll be on the team.
Well, they're going to keep five or six.
They'll probably keep six. Depends on special teams.
Right, so I mean, you don't know. And depends on defensive back. Nick Marshall's a wild card. What are you going to do with him?
What do you do with Corey Graham?
Well, I mean, can you keep a guy just for kick return?
Right.
I wouldn't.
I wouldn't either.
Just think about it. All the running backs. Yeldon, Gerhardt, D-Rob.
Keeping him.
Pierce.
You got to keep him.
Storm.
No.
Gone.
So Grant would be five.
You can't keep five. You can't keep five tailbacks.
You're not keeping.
So Pierce has got to go, right?
No.
No, you're not going to keep Grant.
I don't think you keep a guy. No.
It's hard to cut. It's hard to cut that speed, though.
The guy's got 30 average. If he averages 30 yards a kick return.
No. Doesn't matter. First of all, in today's league, 70% of them are kicked out of the end zone.
You're not keeping him for that.
70% are out of the end zone. You're going to keep a guy who will get, you know, 20 returns for the year.
Right. You're
maybe 30.
So
no,
but he can't.
I wouldn't.
He can't do anything else.
No,
unless
he's
not covering on.
No,
no.
I haven't seen it yet. Unless he's a gunner or something that I haven't seen. Now Jeff studies special teams much more than I do, at this time. So maybe Logs has a different opinion.
But
I don't think I would keep a guy just for a kick return.
I think we should go through the 53. Cut
not
it.
Yet.
We'll do that.
We're cruel. We're crass.
We'll do the full 53 after when we come back next segment for sure.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
No. Why?
Yes.
Isn't that a next week show after the third preseason game?
No.
No.
It's not. We'll do it next week, too.
Can we get callers? Like, I'd rather have callers than that.
Why? So you can get mad? You get mad at all the callers.
I know, but I'd rather do callers than
callers are scared of you.
They are scared.
When I used to do my show, they were scared of me. Now they're scared of you.
They weren't scared of you, Pete.
Yeah, they were.
You're a teddy bear, Pete.
I am? And why did you still yell at me?
You're shaped like one.
I don't know. Keep eating there, chubby. You want something else? Did you eat all the cookies in that pack?
I got one cookie left.
No, I don't think so. There's one in that coffee over there, too.
I drank it.
He melted the cookie in there and ate it that way.
Yeah.
You're going to get that sugar in your body somehow, some way.
Yeah,
huh?
I couldn't eat it on the air, so I melted it and drank it.
Three pieces of cake last night. I feel bad for you, man.
Why?
Because you're not going to make it to 80.
I'll be fine.
When are you going to start running triathlons again?
Never.
It's in your bio. It's in your bio. You run triathlons?
No, that's a lie.
I was talking to Chuck Pagano the other day at the Colts practice, and we were talking because, you know, he went to the same high school as Tony. His father coached him. He said, "You can't believe how skinny Tony was in high school."
I showed
he said,
up.
My dad took a look at him and said, "You're not playing quarterback."
Yeah, I showed up sophomore year to play quarterback. They said,
"No."
Sam said, "No."
No. He moved you to tight end first.
Yeah,
right?
Literally like 30 seconds into practice. Didn't even let one day pass. And he was smart, though. He let all summer me work with the quarterbacks. Just so I would never have left anyways. I wasn't that type of kid. My dad wouldn't let me. But just to make sure I showed up for 2 days. So he put in my mind that he was going to let me play quarterback. And that first 30 seconds, he says, "You're a tight end."
But you were tall, right?
Yeah, I was 6'4".
In 10th grade?
Yeah, 6'4", 180, 6'3". Maybe 6'3", 6'4", something like that. 185.
Now you got a leg that weighs 180.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, so I don't think – if I became anorexic, I don't think I could weigh 185. If I stopped eating and doing nothing but like
– Yeah, why is that? Because you're not
– I couldn't.
You're not – I mean, you're not that much You know what I mean? You get older, your body changes. But
I'm big boned.
You must have been really skinny in high school.
I never lifted weights. Wasn't like today where these kids lift weights like 14, 15.
You showed up maybe for a couple hours.
I used to tell my dad I was going to the workout. We'd go play basketball, racquetball, mm-hmm. or run around and chase
girls. Other sports. You didn't play 7-on-7 and everything else?
No, there was no such thing as 7-on-7.
Like your son.
I did basketball and track.
Tony's son probably lifts weights at least four times as long as you did when you were
high school. He's lifted so much more weight. I mean, my son is, my oldest is like 6'5", 6'4 and a half, 310. He is stronger than I was as a sophomore in college. Redshirt freshman. He is stronger than I was as a redshirt and freshman.
Unbelievable.
In college. Wow. And I started in the Pac-10. It was all Pac-10. And he's stronger than I was.
It's amazing.
What else did you win out there in the Pac-10? It was like the All-American Bowl or something? What was the bowl?
What are you talking about? I said I was
USC. No, that's what I'm saying. I'm just saying, are you naming USC accolades now? What are we doing here?
Well, he won.
I was making a point.
He won because he went there, so somebody obviously gave him something. Big winner. Winner, winner, winner.
it was more than a chicken dinner, too, maybe.
we'll deal with USC Alabama come next year.
Are we going to that game?
Yes, we're going to
that
game.
Did you see what your coach did the other night, by the way?
Oh, my God. How embarrassing was that? I was embarrassed.
Oh, my God. He got drunk and he was cursing and everything else.
I was embarrassed for the players, the program, and everyone else, and for him.
I hope it comes back on him because ASU plays in week 4.
Ooh.
I thought we opened up with Arizona State this year.
No, playing week 4.
We'll come back in a moment. Phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. We'll go through the 53. Who's going to make it? The first cut comes up after this game, down to 75, then the final cut after the final preseason game. More Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HenneyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Lions Jaguars coming up Friday at 8 o'clock here at Everbank Field. It's the dress rehearsal game. Starters historically go into the third quarter. An 8 o'clock kick, and for tickets, visit jaguars.com/tickets. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Buscelli, Pete Prisco. Jaguars Monday continues. Another injury note today, Toby Gerhart. Abdominal strain today, limited work, lower abdominal strain, day to day is the word.
I think I got an abdominal strain right now.
After those cookies.
Because it's going out.
I got an expansion issue. Is that? Can I get on?
You might be on the list.
Disabled
here,
list.
Yeah, we'll put you on the
IR.
Are you day to day?
I am day. Literally, I live day to day.
But aren't we all?
Yeah, I was gonna say.
You know this though. When you get an abdominal strain from remember when who was it had the. Well, Fred had the abdominal strain.
Yeah.
It was torn off the bone. But you get a real bad abdominal strain, it's hard to play. So hopefully that's not that bad for him.
I don't know.
Because he's played pretty well this preseason.
Yes, he has.
I've never had abs, so I'm not sure what that's like.
You have a stomach. We all do.
I got so much protection down there that it doesn't really get hurt. Much like you.
Yeah, well, I'm also 55, in case you're wondering. In case Mr.
Is that your waist?
40
Is
years
that your
old.
Waist?
No.
Oh.
40 years old and not going to make it to 80.
I'm 43, by the way.
Are you really?
Yeah.
God, that really does make me feel old. Remember when you were a chubby, fat-faced kid who walked in here as 21 years old?
How old were you when you showed up? He's got some of that left.
Just turned 23.
Yeah. So you must have got held back a year.
I read you. And then I was going to
come out. How old were you when you went to high school? 21?
No, I was 8.
He was already married.
I redshirted.
Okay.
And then I was going to come out. I thought about coming out after my sophomore year.
Right.
And I was coming out after my junior year and hurt my knee.
So you came out after your senior year.
5 years.
5 years.
How about this? If you would have come out after your junior year, who would have drafted you, think, Pete? Who would have drafted him?
I was going to be a mid to late first rounder. I don't know. I don't even know who picked him at that time. Yeah.
I wasn't.
No. The reason I came back is John Robinson said, come back and you'll be a top five pick.
Went number two.
There you have it.
So I don't know who would have picked me.
We mentioned Gerhart running game a little bit. We didn't really talk about it a lot tonight, so let's do it now. This short yardage, the 3rd and 2 situations now with
like
Alu in the game, running to the right side. That's pretty strong.
He's good in there.
I mean, not just good, like great. Like I've seen defensive linemen go back there, and it's more hype than actually action. Like they kind of get back there and big and hit glancing blows, or they – Tyson Alualu, digs people out. Like gets underneath their pads.
And he gets to the right guy, too. Oh. Which, you know, a lot of times in that situation, the linemen go in there and they just run into the pile and don't really hit anything.
Maybe we should keep Tyson on offense full time. I mean, the guy's a stud.
Well,
I'll say this about Tyson. He played well on defense
that night. He did.
He was their best defensive lineman,
right.
I thought.
He was good the other night. The thing is, it just goes back to my theory on fullbacks. Who needs them? You don't need them. It's donated down if you hand it to him.
Tyson,
and you bring a guy like that to do it when you want to.
You can join us if you like. Look, come on.
Come on.
Grab a mic right here.
Come on. We'll get you on here.
Our GM, mighty leader of a GM, Dave Caldwell, just walked in the room.
He's obviously got to be complaining about something because he's just heard something.
We were just getting ready to do the 53-man cut down. You want to
join us?
Yeah,
you want to join us? That's the perfect timing, Dave.
He must have been in the office and you heard something and you're complaining about it.
Right.
Yeah. No, you're going to be complaining about something. No?
Dave's in here, doesn't want to join us. That's okay. We'll get it. No, we can do the. He's trying to learn something from this show. Good luck. With these two.
So are we.
He defends every offensive line you have. So.
No,
they deserve defending.
I thought the offensive line played well there tonight. Talking to that mic real quick, just quickly about the offense. They played well.
They played well.
Yeah, they played well.
Yeah, outside of, as I try to.
I agree. I'm agreeing 100%.
We got. It
might have been the strongest unit in the team so far, aside from the quarterback.
No, second strongest group. Tight ends number one.
And then running backs are in there, too.
No.
Yeah.
All rows around the offensive line.
Yeah, all around the offensive
line.
All I know
is that your offense is better than your defense now, and a year ago you couldn't say that.
Well, we need a microphone for you is what we need. You're hiding.
No, we're doing a radio show with this.
He went, well.
So this is award losing radio right now.
Well, you're on every Monday. Yeah, what are you talking about? You drive those listeners right away.
Par for the course.
People won't call. They're scared of them.
I'm scared of me, too. But, no, I think, listen, overall, I mean, the offensive line has been playing well, and they've done a good job, and
we cut that group already.
Well, we already got the cut down.
He already cut Linder after the bad game.
I didn't cut Linder. No, but my whole point of saying that is a week ago, we were just killing Luke Jokel because he gave up a sack and a late pressure.
Right.
And everyone was like, he can't play. Let's get rid of him. He's no good. And so my only point was Linder gave up a pressure. Maybe we should cut him now, too, because he stinks.
Right.
Our best offensive line. Let's get rid of him.
Right.
And Parnell got on the edge one time. Maybe we should get rid of him, too, because he had a play. And Luke didn't have any problems. So we can
had a holding
him.
Penalty.
It was a crappy call, and you know that.
I know.
It was a bad call.
My point there you is, go, defending the offensive lineman again.
You got to look at his at its entirety, and that group is playing very well.
I agree. I think that might be the most improved unit on the team.
They're competing, too.
They're competing, too, Dave says. That's an excellent point from the general manager.
Who's competing?
The Giants were competing, too. There's another NFL
team
on the field.
We used to call it this way. We used to say this way. They get paid as well. Yeah, that's right. And guess what? The guy I'm blocking gets paid.
That's true.
And sometimes coaches forget that. The media forgets it a lot. Fans completely
I never forget it because that's first and foremost priority number one. Get your money.
Paid. No, but my whole point is when you're out there at every position group, you're competing against another professional who gets paid to do their job to beat you.
Remember, I'm the one guy who went around the league asking every player in the league, would you rather have rank them in order, money, Hall, and Super Bowl win.
And what was the final tally?
Privately, when they all...
Privately.
Money, number one, first and foremost. Number two, when you really explained it to them, was Hall, and then the ring was a distant third.
What do you mean really explained it to them?
Because
we're not smart enough to figure it out?
Well, most of you aren't, but... No, but if you get a Hall, your legacy is forever.
And you get paid for the rest of your life.
And if you're the 45th guy on a team and you get a Super Bowl ring, you're hawking it on eBay like 3 years later.
That's a good point.
And those,
so it is the ring.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Pete, but those Hall of Fame guys, I mean, they get paid.
It's on and on and on and on.
I would go for the ring.
If you make it.
I'm a team player.
See, that's
why
you shouldn't be eating all these cookies because you get to 80. Because when you're 80, you have five more. If you don't eat that, you're going to be like 5 more years of making all that money when you do get into the Hall.
Yeah, that's right.
I think I'll live just fine eating this.
You'll be that guy sitting over there like all decrepit, and there.
Well, I could be that way. If I eat healthy, I could be like that.
With your jacket, like because you're shrunk. You know, when you get older, you shrink. You have this big overgrown gold jacket, and you're signing things for checks.
Sign anything for check? What are you talking?
You're signing
about?
Like you know. Hey, you have an autograph signing when you're like 80 years old, and you're signing. You're getting money for your checks. Of course, you make the Hall. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Don't play dumb. You know what I'm talking about.
My point is, why are you saying I'm going to be old, decrepit, and like...
Because everybody gets old and decrepit. Look around.
No, I'm not saying, but that has nothing to do with my
I want to be 100 years old sitting on the couch criticizing bad quarterbacks.
Pete, you're not living to 100.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
You want to bet?
You're too fat.
I'm Italian. You're fat.
I know. I'm not saying I'm living to 100.
You don't want to live to 100?
Listen, I want to live as long as I want to be
screaming
life.
I want to be screaming at bad quarterback play and bad draft picks when I'm 100 years old.
Is this a football show or about fat old guys?
Fat old guys.
Fat old
Welcome
guys.
Welcome to the program.
David Caldwell. You like to join us.
You fit in well, fat old guys.
That's right. Dave Caldwell, GM, sitting in for a moment. It's a good time to pick 53, right?
We cut the roster.
Let's hear it. We got two games to go.
Let me ask you a serious question, because we're not going to cut the roster, because Dave...
No, we can't put him on that spot.
No,
but we don't have to put him on that spot.
But I want to ask Dave a real question. We talked about this earlier. Do you need four preseason games to evaluate the roster?
You probably don't need it to evaluate all 53 players, but it helps when there are some position battles going on, and there still will be, you know, a handful of guys. You know, you're, you know, 50 to 53.
But my guess is, I got to believe... At this point, if you said gun to your head, or you know, it's time, it's over, pick your 53. I mean, you have a book on each of these guys of what you think they can and can't do, and who you like and who you don't.
Well, you do, and then sometimes on the two preseason games, it kind of works out in itself, and sometimes those decisions are made for you in terms of, well, sometimes guys get hurt. Like we had this past week, we had some guys get hurt that probably had a good chance of making our team, and now those decisions are kind of made for you.
If injuries didn't factor in, could you have cut your team after the OTAs?
No. Like, for instance, like a guy like Aurelius Ben, you know, during OTAs, you know, he was still coming on, and then he really started to come on during training camp and then our first preseason game. So we were excited about him. And plus, on the special teams, we didn't realize how well he was doing on special teams during OTAs.
So 50, maybe.
I think you could probably maybe your
48,
90% of your roster, you have a pretty good idea.
We're big proponents of cutting it down to one and then having a scrimmage or 4 days working with another
team. Yeah, 3 weeks of practice. 1 week of that is a three-day scrimmage with another team. One preseason game, let's go play 18 regular season games.
Problem is, you can't say this, but we can. Teams make money on these things.
Oh, gosh, yeah. It's a huge moneymaker.
But, you see, like your GM, you see Jordy Nelson go down yesterday.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough for the teams. It's tough for the players. But, you know... But if it would have went down the first game of the season, and you know that happens too,
you're gonna get with that too.
And I mean, we had our first round pick go down in the first rookie OTA, so it's part of the game. Hopefully, you have a roster that can withstand an injury like that, and hopefully, it doesn't hurt the team too much. But you feel bad for the players like Jordy, and you feel bad for guys around the league that do get hurt this time of year.
Am I wrong about this? Are there more pulls and hamstring pulls and groin pulls and that kind of thing than there used to be?
I don't know.
I think there's more media.
Is that what it is? That might be. You might be right.
More. Way to go, Pete. Well, it's 24 hours a day coverage. Right. I mean, Twitter,
it's
everything.
All day, I mean, everybody's a reporter with an iPhone these days, right?
Right. Right. So, but I still think there's, I don't know, I think there's, these guys are year-round now. You know, you used to go home for, you used to do nothing for like months at a time.
No, not here.
You didn't have any, how many OTAs days did you have when you were playing?
It was unregulated.
You didn't have any?
Yeah, no, we had them all the time. We had, what are you talking about?
You had mini camp and you had mini camp.
No, and we had 10 to 15 days of practice on the field.
And that's it.
That's all they have now, Pete.
Nah, they're here.
No, and our off-season program was longer. We had to come in March. They don't get here to April.
I think the off-season has changed in terms of, I think in the past when Tony was playing, it was more really conditioning.
Strength and conditioning.
Where now it's more football related. Right. And I think they may be getting into the football aspect too soon.
Well, no, but the problem is they don't allow them to come in soon enough. First of all, what is it now? The CBA is like April, mid-April?
End of April this year.
End of April. We came in mid to late March.
But did you go to a specialized training thing for 6 weeks before the season, after the season ended, before you came back?
No, he was too cheap.
Right. Of course he didn't.
No, but I just went and worked out.
Yeah, but it's different now. These guys are in these things for 10
weeks. I agree. It's too much. Just go work out. All this football-specific stuff, just go lift, get bigger, stronger.
Well, we would prefer to have them here. I think what happens is sometimes they go to those specialized training.
Oh, so stupid.
And they don't know how to prepare them for our training camp, which is in Jacksonville, Florida, which
is
hot.
Well, not only that. They start teaching them stuff that you're not going to use.
But you can't have – they can't be here, so they got to work out somewhere.
Well, that's the CBA's problem. Yeah. Right. That's the idiotic – negotiation of the CBA.
But I still think they're working out too much.
We traded less practices for less money.
But Tony, after the OTAs, after your OTAs and mini camps are done, they get 5 weeks off? Yep. They don't go back and they go to a lot of those guys go back to those same facilities and work out for another 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah, it's dumb.
You went on vacation for 3 weeks.
No, we went to the beach and worked out. No, but I'll tell you what we did. We went to the beach. We'd work out in the morning, lift, do a running like we would here, and then go hang out on the beach for the day.
Right.
We lift and run. That's all you got to do. I don't need to go do pass sets.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I think it's too much.
First of all, I don't need to go to some specialized training place to tell me how to do pass sets or what we're going to do. Because it might be different than what my coach is teaching me or what I know I need to do. I need to just go. We had the conversation last week about the little academy that you were promoting.
Hey, it's a good idea.
But I think the problem is these academies start teaching and promoting and training in a way that might not be consistent with what the club's asking them to do.
Dave, let's ask you. Would you send, if you had a son coming up, going into college, going into, you know, that kind of an older son, would you send him to a Tony Boselli Academy for offensive linemen?
That's a tough question. Is there a Jonathan Ogden one?
Is there a Walter Jones one? If I had a son, I'm sending him to the Willie Rofe Academy. And the one that really will get him angry, we'll send him to the Orlando Pace Academy.
Wow.
I'm usually not this funny.
It's easy on this show.
We get him every week with that one.
Dave Caldwell. Hey, let's make this a weekly segment.
Yeah, he comes in. He's around all the
time. Well, I pop in every once in a while.
Oh.
I can't concentrate.
His agent's asking for money.
No, I can't concentrate because I hear a noise in the hallway, so I figure Pete's in the office.
That's when Mike Dempsey's on at 10 o'clock. That's not us.
Well, good. I think it's time for a commercial break. What do you guys think?
Let's go. Dave Caldwell, thanks for jumping in for a moment. We'll see you next week on Jaguars Monday. We'll come back in a moment. And look around the National Football League. About a half an hour left. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Jaguars Monday rolls along. JP Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco. Glad you're along with us tonight. It's time for our look around the National Football League. And we start with Jordy Nelson. The ACL tear. It is the Packers announced it today that it is an ACL tear. Also, same game, Marquise Pouncey. Ankle injury for the Steelers. They're both done.
That's a big hit for both.
Is Pouncey out for the year?
No, not for the year, but it's going to be a long time.
What, 6 weeks?
He's got to have surgery on. It's going to be longer than that.
It's ankle surgery. I wonder what happened. Did he dislocate his ankle or did he just?
No, I don't know. But I saw the play. He was engaged in one of the guys. No, but it wasn't like normally from the side. It was from behind.
Well, that might be a bad high ankle sprain.
So it was bad. And Jordy's was funky. It didn't even look like anything happened.
Did he just cut and go down?
It didn't really cut. He was like kind of like.
He was on his own. Nobody was touching him, right?
No.
Yeah.
That's bad. And, you know, there's
bad
one.
Bad for the league. Those are good players.
But there's one you can't say it's from overworking because he had hip surgery in the offseason, so he didn't do any work.
There are certain injuries that are just going to happen.
Non-contact knee injuries are usually those.
I remember I tore my ACL. I was planning to go up to the linebacker level, and it just went.
Think about the injuries that we've had, like ACL. I think there's been 24 ACLs. Alone.
Run on ACLs this year.
This is the record in the 60s somewhere.
But this is in preseason 24.
Right.
You're talking about like Benjamin and guys like that. Then you had
all non-contact stuff.
Carolina, who plays here opening week, has been hit by big-time injuries. I mean,
who's going to play wide receiver for him?
Well, Devin Funchess is the number one wide receiver right now, the kid out of Michigan.
Wow.
And
he is not a wide receiver.
No,
he's
but not
H-back.
Only that. You talk about their calling card is their defensive line, right? Ludalili, Kawan Short.
Charles Johnson.
Well, they're almost all of them are hurt. And then they lost Frank Alexander, who was going to be a situational guy who can rush the passer.
I hope they're all hurt for opening weekend.
Had a torn Achilles tendon the other day.
I mean, I hope nothing serious hurt, but just hope that none of them are active.
They got problems. So I think Jacksonville wins the opening. In fact, I've played out the season already.
How many wins?
Really? I haven't finished totaling it up yet. I haven't totaled it up yet. But
What week are you at?
I've played them all out, and I have the scores in there. I just haven't told them up yet.
Let me ask you a question. Can we go through the? Let's go through.
Let's put it this way. They're 2-0 out of the gate.
I like that. I agree.
Wow. When was the last time that happened?
2-0 out of the gate, next to New England Indy. I know you have losses.
That's 2-2.
Okay, they're 2-2.
But 2-0 is good out of the gate.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Well, especially against two teams that people think might be playoff teams, Carolina, Miami.
Miami's going to be pretty good, I think.
Jacksonville pushed Miami around.
I think Miami's going to be pretty good.
Tannehill's better. He's better.
Yeah.
But at home, opener, you win that one. Miami. I mean, I just don't think.
Ndamukong Suh. Oh, no.
He's good, though.
He is good.
But that ain't going to
I'll take my chances that's with Lindor on him.
But I'll tell you that, though. It's going to be Sue, and if you double him, then you got Vernon.
You don't have to double him.
And Wake is single guys.
I'll put Lindor on a man-on-man. Let's go.
All right, so you got Lindor on. What if he goes to the other side?
I'll double him.
And then that means Vernon has single. That's the one thing about them is they can rush the passer.
Vernon's a good player.
And so is Wake.
Wake is. But with Parnell at right tackle, I like the matchup much better against Wake.
Right.
Parnell's big and long. Right. He'll give Wake problems. It'll be a good matchup. It'll be
there's
good football. I can't wait.
Before we get to that, it's a good question. Will Parnell be better than Leon?
No.
No.
Not until I see it.
I don't agree. I agree.
Leon was one of the most underrated players on our team.
I agree.
I mean, he was a Pro Bowl player.
Nasty.
Leon's only knock against Leon. Leon would get tired at times and decide to play on the backside. I ain't going. But Leon was a bad man.
For a 6'1 tackle, he was pretty darn good.
He was 6'3. He had long arms, though. I mean, he could play football now.
Yeah, he was a good
player. He could play football.
Good football player.
Yeah, he was very underrated. Yep. Underappreciated, too, on this
Might
team.
Be one of the most underappreciated players ever to play for this team.
I'd agree with that.
Brian Hoyer named the starting quarterback for the Texans over Ryan Mallett.
So I saw Pete Prisco had an all-time great tweet. He basically said, if your quarterbacks are named any of the McCown brothers, Hoyer, and what was the other one?
It was Josh, Luke, Eddie McCown, Hoyer, Fitzpatrick. Castle, Tyrod Taylor, any of them.
Your team's not going to win.
No, your 500 team at best. That's a joke.
That was a great tweet.
And then, of course, the Bills fans said they went 9-7 last year. And the Texans went 9-7. I said, that's your aberration season. Everything went right. That's what the best you're going to get out of that. Hoyer stinks.
And
capital S.
And the Bills won because Kyle Orton's not a bad quarterback.
Well, they think that what they have is better.
No. If they could have figured out how to keep Orton from retiring, they would have a chance because that defense is that good.
By the way, for the record, the last 2-0 Jaguars start, 2006.
You're in the playoffs.
Been a while.
Been that long, huh?
Beat the Steelers in the first round of the wild card.
Decade almost.
That was 07.
Okay, totally. The following year, it was a precursor to the 07 playoff year.
It's kind of like your Cleveland game in 95. It carried over.
Carried over.
No, but that's a decade.
Don't let the facts get in the way of a good story next
time,
please.
That's a decade.
It's a decade.
Unbelievable. Haven't gotten 2-0 almost in a whole decade.
Yeah. We haven't won very many games in the last decade.
Yeah, that's true.
The hit Terrell Suggs put on Sam Bradford was flagged for roughing the passer, but the league has now said it was a legal play on a read option. What do you say?
It's a legal play in the regular season, maybe. Come on. That's a dirty play in the preseason with a guy coming off an ACL. I'm sorry. You don't go low on him. That was garbage.
It was above the
knee. Let me ask you a question. Would you rather hit him in the head?
Me, personally? I'd rather have him hit my quarterback right and smack in the head.
Me and you both.
Yeah,
I'm a firm believer of hit me in the head, not in the knees.
Okay.
The league has it backwards. Everyone worries about concussions. I worry about my knees.
And because that's where your dollars are,
right,
too. Let me ask
my
you
head
this,
will be fine. I worry about my
you
head
saw
when
the,
I'm
you
like,
saw it,
later.
Right? Did you see it? Did you see the play?
No, I turned the game off by then.
But it was basically a hand.
Yeah, I remember.
It wasn't really a read option either. He wasn't.
But he took a step like he was going to run.
In that offense, you hit the quarterback every time.
But you don't go low.
You can't go high, Pete.
Where did he hit him?
Here.
Did he hit him?
He didn't hit him square
in the knee. He hit him above the knee, didn't he?
Yeah, go look at it. I sat on a picture yesterday of it from the backside. It looks like he's going.
First of all, Pete.
And Suggs is
known for that. If you go at the chest and the quarterback lowers his head, you're getting the flag. Listen.
That's true.
Come on.
The way they legislate this.
You don't think Suggs had any malice?
No,
in what
I mean, Suggs is, I mean, he's nasty. I like it. So you like how you play the game. I like it.
I thought it was dirty.
Jason Peters should have cut him the next play.
Why didn't he? I said that out, too. If you're the Eagles and you're complaining about it,
cut him.
It's kind of like when you guys used to play the Titans. Everybody would go after your quarterback, and you guys never did anything.
Wow.
What are you talking about?
Scott Sanderson.
Who's Scott Sanderson?
No, not Scott Sanderson. What was the one? Somebody hit your quarterback.
They hit Jamie out of bounds, late out of bounds, but we didn't see it until the on film and tore his ACL.
Jamie Martin.
Martin. Yeah. We didn't see it until film.
I'm a big believer you retaliate. Some shot.
Settle on the field, right?
Some shot. I mean, get a shot.
And I wouldn't. I was never a big guy. I didn't like going for the knees, but I would take a shot to the head.
Right.
I would do so. I would let him know that it wasn't okay.
Right.
I always didn't like the shots to the knees because I didn't want anyone messing with my knees.
No, because that's your livelihood too. You shouldn't go after anybody.
So if I was in charge of the league, I'd say all head hits are fine.
Right. No.
Just stay away from the knees.
Right.
Like okay, the other night, Julius Thomas, the play he got hurt on, the guy I thought hit him.
It was in leg.
I thought it was knees.
Yeah.
So if you're Julius Thomas, would you rather get hit there or in the head?
In the head.
In the head.
Of course.
Hit me in the head. I'll be fine. I'm not a big believer in concussions, by the way.
But it was a dirty hit.
It's a mystery.
I could tell.
As might probably be affected by them. No, but I'm all joking aside, obviously concussions are bad. But as a player.
You'd rather get hit in the head.
This is where Pete and I agree. I mean, yep. Golly.
Money is in your knees.
And the way they have this, and that's why what Suggs did, it's like part of the deal because if he goes high and Bradford lowers his head, he's getting fined and they're taking money.
Well, here's all you need to know. Jordy, if you ask Jordy Nelson right now if he'd rather have a concussion from yesterday's game or the knee injury, he'd take the concussion.
Yes, every day.
Any day of the week.
Every day.
Yep.
We'll come back in a moment and more NFL headlines, including the advice of having a fall guy.
Fall guy.
Oh, all-timer. And this? Can't wait.
Well, not only that, Chris didn't follow his own advice because he was – kicked out of the league for a while, remember?
Final segment. Ball
guy. And let's keep it up on the NFL website.
Chris Carter and Sapp. Kidding me?
That's who speaks at the symposium?
That's who was there together. They were together.
Hold
on.
Oh,
my God.
That's coming up. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Final moments of Jaguars Monday. Jaguars host the Lions on Friday here at Everbank Field at 8 o'clock kick. CBS national coverage.
National, baby.
Kevin Harlan's good.
Harlan is good.
Dan Fouts is
good, too.
Yeah,
absolutely. That's
and
the
CBS
crew.
Is good. I know where my bread is buttered.
I will say this. I think all the networks do a good job of covering the NFL. They really do. I think that
CBS is the best, though.
I think the top teams... Like the top broadcast teams at every network are good. There's some back ends that you might have issues with, but the top teams, they do a good job. They
Super
cover
Bowl
well.
50 on CBS. Come on, it's good. A big year. Big year.
Company man right here, Pete Prisco.
I am company man.
That's who pays his checks.
Right. I mean,
have you not figured out? If Pete is consistent about one thing, if you pay him, he is all for you.
Coin operated.
Not just that. If it's good for me,
That's my point.
Right.
Being paid is good for you.
Right. Oh, yeah. You're no different.
Oh, much different. You and I have a much different philosophy of life.
I don't think so.
Let's continue our look around the National Football
League. You like to get fall guys.
No, I don't.
Pete, do you have a fall guy?
No. I never got in trouble.
Yeah, I got a fall guy. JP's my fall guy. We roll. Anything happens, JP's fault.
This one was disturbing.
This is idiotic. Go tell the story before we go into
2014 Rookie Symposium in Canton, Ohio. Chris Carter.
So this is a year ago.
Chris Carter urged players to have a, quote, fall guy to take the blame for legal trouble. The league kept reporter Robert Klimko from writing it to his with SI and Monday Morning Quarterback. He was actually here with that crew a couple weeks ago now. But that presentation that he did not write about, the presentation from Carter ended up on NFL.com later anyway as a video. What do you make of the
How'd
fall
it come
guy
out finally?
Somebody on Twitter found it and pulled it out.
Well, let's go
well,
to
Borland ratted him out.
Who?
Chris Borland's the one that ratted. He didn't name a name, but in that story on ESPN,
he said
when I was at the rookie symposium, we had these guys up there telling us how not to get in trouble. He goes, he didn't name them. He said there's two ex-players up there. So somebody on Twitter went on NFL.
What did you think about the Borland article?
It was disturbing to me. That's another thing. It's, come on, if you don't want to play football, that's your prerogative, but don't kill the sport.
Yeah, I agree. Well, we can get into that in a second, but let's go to the fall guy deal. I find it very, very disturbing that the NFL – would allow Chris Carter, and I'll say this about Chris Carter. Him and I, and my interaction with him, have got along.
You're one of the rare ones.
I agree. I know that. But I'm not saying anything negative about Chris Carter's past or what he's done. I know there's probably plenty of people that would. That's not me. But the fact that he would get up in front of a bunch of young players saying, instead of saying, hey, make good decisions, stay out of trouble, There's plenty of things you can do to have a good time that are legal. Make sure you run with the right crowd to give them good advice. But instead of doing that, for him to get up there and say, hey, if you're going to get – it doesn't matter if you get in trouble or not. It just matters the perception. So make sure one of your boys is on the payroll to take the fall for you when you do something stupid. So if you get pulled over with weed in your car, make sure you have your boy take responsibility for it and it's not you.
Okay.
Or whatever. I'm just okay. He didn't say it like that, no, but that's an example.
Okay, but I'm going to say this. He shouldn't be saying that in an NFL-sanctioned
Nowhere.
Rookie symposium.
He shouldn't say it anywhere, Pete.
But, is the big but, you don't think politicians – at times have fall guys.
It doesn't make it right.
I'm not saying it makes it right. I'm saying that's life, Tony.
It doesn't make it right, Pete.
But I'm not condoning what he said, where he said it, how he said it, why he said it. What I'm saying is, in a lot of life circumstances, including politics, there have been guys who have done something wrong and somebody has been the fall guy because the mechanism was there for the fall guy to take the hit. So it's there. It's a reality.
But this is how I look at it. If my son, who is going to go to Florida State next year to play football, if part of the freshman orientation that Florida State put him through was to say, hey, make sure – you get a fall guy, so if you get in trouble at a bar or off campus, you can blame somebody else. I'd walk into that Florida State office and beat the you-know-what out of them, saying, what are you telling my kid? How about let's tell these young people to make good decisions?
That's not what I'm saying.
But that's what I'm saying. That's the problem.
It's stupid to say it.
How much credibility has Chris Carter lost in this thing?
Ton.
What is ESPN going to do with it?
Ton.
What is ESPN going to do? Nothing?
Nothing.
That's the problem. I mean, I'm not saying he should lose his job for it, but I mean, come on.
In the game, the real game of life, we're not just talking about, he shouldn't say it to
wrong. You're wrong. The real game of life.
You don't think that goes on in politics?
Let me ask you a question. The real game of life. Are you in life, Pete?
Yeah.
Do you have a fall guy?
No.
Okay. I live life. Hold on. I'm a public figure.
You don't think politicians?
Hold on. I'm just saying. You say in the real world of life.
They do. That goes on all the time.
I have a public life in Jacksonville. I play professional sports.
You don't get in trouble.
I'm in the media.
You don't get in
trouble. I'm in national media.
You don't get in trouble.
I don't have a fall guy.
You don't get in trouble.
I don't go out. Me and JP roll the dinner and say, "Hey, JP, if we get busted, let me slide."
What are you doing to get busted? You're not doing anything.
Let me slide the weed to you.
No. But am I not right about politics, JP?
I'm just saying.
You guys agree with me on that? It's happened in politics,
but it doesn't. But that's not real life.
Well, politics is pretty real.
Okay, but that's not the message you give people.
I know. I agree with you on that. I agree with you on that.
Idiotic.
I agree with you, Tony. You're preaching to the choir over here.
Well, then don't sit here and say but.
There is a big but there.
No, there's not.
Yes, there is.
Oh.
But you don't go to a rookie symposium and tell guys, look, don't get
in the league.
Tell them not to get in trouble.
And here's my problem with the other thing, the league. I understand the league basically told the reporter he can't report that. And I understand why the reporter, he said, I said I didn't do it because I wasn't there to report that story.
Right, he was there to report
and
something
else. And so
it wasn't worth it for him to do that.
If I was going to, the only way to get access was not to report that, then fine, because it wasn't the story. My problem with the NFL is one, I want to know this. Was Chris Carter allowed to speak at the rookie symposium this year?
That I don't know.
Can you look that up? Let's figure that out. And two, I hope the league comes out and says, this is not the message we want to send. This is not okay, because this is the thought of the fan base. It's your thought. Well, this is what these guys do.
No, that's not what I think.
I'm not saying that you, but that's the message.
Did you see he brought Teddy Bridgewater up on stage and said, you got a fall guy, Teddy? And Teddy looked at him and like he didn't know what he should say. It was awful. It was an awful, 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 awful thing to put in front of the rookie symposium.
And why? Where is the league coming out saying this is not okay?
They haven't done it yet, but they've pulled the video, from what I understand.
Oh, great! I don't understand where the.
But Chris Borland
Chris Borland story. Set up the Chris Borland story.
Chris Borland retired.
I only can read part of the story.
Did a story
with
ESPN. The two guys that wrote the story are Fainer Ruwada. They're the big investigative reporters for the concussion issue and everything. So he's kind of been their guy, and they went to Europe with him, and he backpacked through Ireland or whatever, and he talked about how football's this and football's that. He basically torpedoed football, saying it's a horrible game. and you know, this whole thing. And that's,
so it's such a horrible game. Let me ask you the question. How bad of a game is it for the hundreds, if not thousands, of young men who get to go to college and get a college scholarship because of the game of football, end up graduating, not playing the NFL, but graduate from a four-year degree and go get a great job and better themselves and their families for the rest of their lives?
Or
how bad is the game of football?
Or the kids that don't even get to go to college because of football but get to play it at some point in their life and they learn discipline and
let me ask you this.
And you know, friendship and
how bad
teamwork.
How bad is the game of football for the 100 kids at the Pacelli Foundation that get a safe place to go, a meal to eat, education, and tutoring for free every day of their life? Because the only reason that's there is because of the game of football.
Right.
Because the game of football brought me to Jacksonville, paid me a lot of money, and gave me influence to allow to help a bunch of kids. So how bad's the game of football, Chris Borland, and the rest of the people? If you don't like the game, then don't play it.
And don't watch it.
I don't need you preaching to me that how bad it is. I don't need that.
And then everybody, and you know what, it's the point, and then the media jumps on.
And you guys are the worst, Pete.
No, I'm not.
I mean, in general. It's the worst. Because here's the thing. We have jumped to this conclusion that somehow concussions are in football are synonymous. And the only sport that gives concussions is football. And somehow concussions are going to end the world. We are all going to cease to exist because of concussions. It's ridiculous. We jump to these conclusions. And I hate the fact that anyone has ended their life, football player or non-football player.
Terrible.
But it's awful. People, thousands and thousands of people kill themselves in this country every year for various reasons, most of them associated with some sort of depression or mental sickness. I mean, it's terrible. It's awful. Financial issues, relationship issues, substance abuse issues, whatever they are. Guess what? The football players that do, I just don't think all of a sudden because
you can't
you're a football player, you have a concussion.
Now, there might be
yourself.
Some link. Nobody knows
there
for
might
sure.
be, but guess what? We can't just throw these big blanket statements out, and the media acts like it's religion and it's like the Bible, and you got people like Chris Borland preaching it like,
well,
whatever you say, we should just roll with it.
I did a story at the
– I am so
– I went to the tryout camp, the veteran tryout.
You don't have
camp.
To like football. You don't have to. But don't – just don't play it. Don't watch it. These media people that I hear now, it's a moral dilemma, the game of watching football. Then don't watch it. Go watch baseball. Go cover baseball. Go cover somewhere else because I don't want to listen to you anymore.
Real quick, when I was I was at the veteran camp, there was a guy there that wanted to get into the camp. He drove 500 miles, begged them to let him into the camp, and they wouldn't let him in the camp. There's a million guys like that that want to play football.
Absolutely. For Pete Prisco, Tony Boselli.
Tony's hot tonight.
Joe Fortunato and Dave Caldwell. This is JP Shadrick. Join us Thursday for the Gus Bradley Show and Jaguars Thursday right here. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.